All right, Book of Mark, chapter number 5 tonight. Book of Mark, chapter 5. Just before we get started, can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
All right, so I know you can do it, so if I don't hear any more, I'll know it's on me, not on you. But Mark, chapter number 5, let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for changing my life and giving me a desire to be in a place like this. Lord, I thank you for giving me new friends. I thank you for giving me new songs, new thoughts, new way of living. God, you've been so, so very, very good to most of us here tonight. Well, to all of us, but most of us, Lord, we realize it, appreciate it tonight. Thank you so much. Father, thank you for this Bible. Lord, I believe every word in it. I pray, God, you'd help me to proclaim it in such a way that people would leave with greater trust in you than ever before. Help me, Father, I ask in Jesus' name, and amen. You know this story, but I want to speak about current events tonight. I said this morning, I say it every chance I get, there's nothing in the Bible that needs to be rewritten.
Right.
Nothing in God didn't look down from heaven and say, look what's happening in America. I should change my word. No. Bible says, Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and they came over on the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because it had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. I say to you tonight, and we'll press on with the passage later, but that's all I'm going to read for just now. I say to you tonight, the farther your nation gets from a belief in God, the farther it gets from a belief in the devil.
True.
And the farther your nation gets from a belief in the Holy Spirit, the farther they get from a belief in unclean spirits.
Correct.
And I'll say to you tonight, I am not making any accusation about anyone you know or anyone you're related to. I am not speaking of any individual tonight. I'm speaking as a preacher of the Word of God. But I believe if you went to a third world country, what they call an undeveloped country, if you went to a country that still has faith in God, maybe they don't know who He is, maybe they don't know how to get to Him, maybe they've never seen a Bible, don't understand Him, but a country that knows there's a Creator in heaven and a devil trying to drag souls to hell, they would recognize what's happening in our nation today for what it is and not what we're pretending that it is. I understand there are some people who genuinely, truly have broken arms, broken legs, heart trouble, back trouble, and mind trouble. I understand that.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, this nation is full of filthy people who think filthy thoughts and look at filthy things and use filthy language. And I don't think it's mental illness. I think it's devils. I don't think it's an emotional problem. I think it's a spiritual problem. I don't think it's a head problem. I think it's a heart problem. And I'm telling you, a lot of these boys and girls destroying their lives, a lot of these families racing toward destruction, a lot of these men harming themselves and women living miserably, I'm telling you, if we don't get back to understanding, there's a devil and there are unclean spirits and they are working against the souls of men and working against the souls of women and working to destroy our young people, we're not going to help folks if we can't diagnose the problem. This man is unclean. His spirit is unclean. His life is unclean. It doesn't have to be that way, but it is. There's a power that has a hold of him. There is a spirit that has a hold of him. And it makes what he does dirty. It makes how he thinks dirty. It makes how he talks dirty. I'm just telling you, I'm old enough now to remember when a man could take his family to a restaurant and the people at the next table weren't cursing and swearing and telling filthy stories in the presence of man's wife and children. I'm old enough to remember when women didn't cuss. I'm old enough to remember when boys and girls didn't wear filthy things on their shirts and people didn't put filthy slogans and pictures on their automobiles. This is a dirty, dirty country you live in, and I think it's the devil's fault. I think people are under control of the devil. I really do. God, I don't know if God gave it to us. He allowed it. I don't know. We tried to use it for God. I'm sure there are people when the radio came out said, I'll never have a radio. I'm sure the people when TV came out, I was one of them, said, I'll never have a TV. I'm sure when the internet came along, we said, I'll never get on that internet. But we are using radio to preach the gospel. We are using the internet to preach the gospel. We're not using TV to preach the gospel because our church don't have enough money to do that, but some churches are. So I'm not, but here's what I want to tell you. You live in a day when you can take a device out of your pocket and hold it in your hand. And with the touch of your finger, you can know everything that mankind has ever learned in 6,000 years of human history. And people have turned it into a sewer of pornography. Isn't that a fact? Now, I think the devil's involved in that. I think Satan is possessing people and their spirits are unclean. I'll show you something else about this man. He wasn't just dirty. He had his dwelling among the tombs. Now, don't you think it's odd that people derive entertainment from watching people murder other people? People take pleasure from paying $20 and going to a theater and seeing people shoot people and stab people and blow people to bits. How is that entertaining? Don't you think it's an odd time when boys and girls grow up and they're not playing ball out in the yard, they're not riding bicycles, they're not shooting bows and arrows, they're not exploring in the woods, they're playing games where they get points for killing people? They're entertaining themselves for hours at a time with video games where you shoot people and their head explodes and you take a sword and chop people to bits. Don't you think the devil's involved in that? Don't you think it's a strange thing when people choose to dwell in a realm of death, choose to fellowship with death, find pleasure and entertainment in death? That's a strange thing. You know, isn't life scary enough without going to see a zombie movie? Isn't there a lot of bad stuff happening in the world without you paying to go see some slasher film? I think people got devils in them. Well, you could come to a place like this and have life, have new life, have abundant life, hear living people sing songs about being alive, hear families sing songs about how great it is to be alive, and instead people choose to dwell in the tombs. They choose to live in the graveyard and the cemetery of this world. I think the devil's in that. I think the devil's involved in that. Then the Bible says, neither could any man could bind him. No, not with chains. Honestly, Brother Doug was joking, but he wasn't joking. I had a daddy like his. Maybe you had a daddy like that. I honestly don't understand a generation where a man can't control a 7-year-old boy. I don't understand a generation where a mother can't control a 5-year-old girl. I don't understand a generation where a 13-year-old boy living in a man's house, eating a man's food, riding in a man's car, wearing clothes a man bought him, talks back to his daddy like his daddy's a dog. I think the devil's in that. I think this generation of young people can't be tamed. I think they're full of the devil. I think it's amazing to me that you got cities and towns, listen to me now, you got cities and towns full of veterans, thank you, full of strong men, full of men that can pull a plow and cut and chop wood and build a fire and swing a hammer and build a house, and they can't figure out how to bring 15 teenage gang members under control. Something's wrong. Something's wrong when people look at men that can't be governed, women that can't be governed, young people who can't be governed and say, well, maybe we just need some more medicine. Maybe we just need to give them a pill. Maybe we just need to give them something to help them calm down. Maybe they got the devil in them. I mean, you don't want God, you're going to get his enemy. You don't want the Holy Ghost, you're going to get an unholy spirit. Bible says because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Have you seen these people wander in your streets? That dope's got a hold of them. You can't keep them under a roof. You can't keep them in a house. You can't sit them down at a table. They're wandering around on the sidewalks, wandering around out in the woods. And if you built a house for them, they wouldn't live in it. They'd tear it up. If you set food in front of them, they'd walk away from it, go try to find some dope. How come nobody says, I think the devil's got a hold of that man? Well, that'd be mean. Meaner than letting him live and die in the woods? Meaner than letting him die strung out on dope in a gutter? Bible says in verse 5, and always, always, night and day, he's in the mountains and in the tombs crying, crying. I said it this morning, I said everywhere I go, because it just amazes me. I've never seen people so well fed, so well clothed, so with such good transportation, with such comfortable homes, with such good jobs, that gripe and whine and complain and bellyache all day long. I'm depressed. I'm unhappy. I'm bipolar. Who isn't bipolar? Hallelujah, that's a great church service. Go, the light's green. Come on. I can sing praise to God and 30 minutes later be yelling at some guy because it was still yellow. He could have got through. I think I'm bipolar. I think I'm on a spinning wheel, man. But all, honestly, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, they lived in these hills on nothing. They went through that Great Depression hungry and weren't going to get out of being hungry. And then they sent their sons off to war, and a lot of them didn't come home. And they sent their daddies off to war, and a lot of them didn't come home. And they didn't sit around crying the rest of their life. I'm just telling you, there's some spirits that are operating powerfully in our nation. And we don't want to call it what it is. And cutting himself with stones. I guess I'm old. I know I'm old. But I'm starting to realize I'm getting old because quite honestly, if you got a problem in your home, we'll get to that. We're going to give you the answer here. But in your life, did you ever think there'd be boys and girls 15, 16, 17 years old with all of this prosperity in front of them and all this opportunity in front of them and all this great freedom America in front of them who sit in their rooms and take pleasure in cutting themselves with razor blades?
Right.
You should have never heard of such a thing. You would if you'd read your Bible.
Oh, yeah.
So I never heard of anybody doing a thing like that. It's right here in Mark chapter 5.
Right.
This man has a spirit in him that wants him dead. This man has a spirit in him that wants to hurt him. This man has a spirit in him that has robbed him of all joy in life. I think we need to quit packing people off to shrinks and start getting them to Jesus. I think we need to quit trying to make excuses for people's problems and get them to the one that can help them with their problems. I'm not trying to be mean. I think it's mean to take somebody somewhere and have that person tell them, well, you're going to be like this the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I think it's cruel. Take somebody who's got problems like this, take them somebody and say, well, try this medication. Will it work? We don't know. It's experimental.
Right.
Now, if you're sitting here, I'm not trying to be mean. You're sitting here tonight. Why would you take pills from a doctor with a list this long of bad things it might do to you, hoping it'll help, and you won't try a verse the preacher gives you? Some shrink says, take three of these every day. You go home and swallow them. A preacher says, try this, get to this altar, come to Jesus. Well, I don't know if that will work or not. I'm just asking, if you've tried everything else and it hadn't helped you, maybe it's not a mental problem. Maybe it's not a physical problem. Maybe it's not a daddy problem. Maybe it's not a mommy problem. Maybe it's not a bad upbringing problem. Maybe you got a spirit in you that needs to come out. Always night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. But, one of the most wonderful words in all the Bible. But when he saw Jesus afar off. Now listen, afar off. That man's about as far from Jesus as you can get. That man's about as far from going to heaven as you can get. That man's about as far from a good life as you can get. But way off, he saw Jesus. Saw Jesus. And he did the best thing he'd ever done in his life. Might have been the only good thing he ever did. When he saw Jesus, he ran. Now, we get out there preaching on the street, we see him run, but the wrong way. You start walking up driveways with the Bible in your hand, you see people run. The wrong way. Here comes a church bus. They run. Wrong way. This man, he ran and worshiped him. You know what that man did? He said, nothing else has helped me. Nothing else has done me any good. My life is bad and getting worse. My life is worse and getting worser. Say, is that a word? It is tonight. I heard it in a Biden speech. And you know what he did? He said, there's Jesus. I'm in the tombs. There's Jesus. I'm filthy. There's Jesus. I'm miserable. There's Jesus. I keep hurting myself. Let me see what he can do. And he ran to Jesus. Some of you need to quit tarrying. Some of you need to quit shuffling. Amen. Some of you need to quit. You need to get running. Yes. Get running to Jesus. Yes. You think your son going to get any better without Jesus? You think your daughter's going to get better without Jesus? You think your marriage is going to get any better without Jesus? You think your thought life's going to get any better without Jesus? You think that habit you got's going to get any better without Jesus? Why don't you get up from where you are and run to where he is? Yeah. Well, if the Lord wants me out of this, he'll get me out of it. Maybe he wants you to run out of it.
Yes. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. He ran to Jesus and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, thou torment me not. He got two voices speaking. He got an unclean spirit inside him. And he's got an understanding inside. You know what he said? My life, Jesus, and your life, we have nothing in common.
Right.
My ways and your ways, they are not alike. My thoughts and your thoughts, they never intersect. But this old devil inside me, he is on his way to eternal, everlasting torment, and he's taking me with him. Where I was going. I know about every preacher in America seems like has put a padlock on the door to hell and said it's closed, but that's not true. You're not going to heaven or nowhere. You're not going to heaven or somewhere else. You're going to heaven or that devil's going to drag you into a burning hell. Liberal preachers might not believe in hell. These unclean spirits do. Modern ministers might not believe in hell. Every devil that spoke to Jesus knew where he was going. He said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. He asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. Watch this. And the unclean spirits went out.
Amen.
Not 10 years of counseling.
Amen.
Not 15 years of psychiatry. Amen. Not 25 self-help books. Not try better. Not chanting. Not meditating. Jesus Christ, by the power of his word, said to a man who ran to him for help, devils, get out. And they left. They met a higher power. They met a superior power. And what that man could not do for himself, Jesus Christ did for him. They ever done that for you? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now I got a question for you. Most of you here on a Sunday night with the Bible in your lap, I'm assuming you know something about the Word of God. You know what Jews weren't allowed to eat? That would be pork. I like that hymn, "Free from the Law, Oh Happy Condition." You talk about rubbing their nose in it. The traditional Easter dinner is ham. Not only is our Savior risen from the dead, but we get to eat this. What are these men doing raising pigs? You know something? There's people who know they're full of the devil, and it's evident. And there's other people who look like upstanding moral businessmen, and they're just disobeying God right in front of his face. Well, Jesus gave them leave. The unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 were choked in the sea. They committed suicide. Oh, deviled ham. You know, it's amazing how much sin you can tolerate. It's amazing. You start out as a boy, you start out as a girl, and you get a little harder in your heart as a teenager and a little harder in your heart as a young adult. You know, it's amazing. There's 2,000 devils in this man. How do you survive that? One of our men was down 2 weeks ago preaching the rescue mission, and a fellow walked up to him and said, "I remember you. You preached here 20 years ago. You still preaching?" And a man said, "I bit my tongue. I wanted to say, you're still living on the street doing dope?" Yeah. Wouldn't you, I mean, you honestly, you look at somebody who's being beaten in a barroom fight, and your first thought is, "I'd never go back to a bar." But he's been going in there fighting like that for decades. Right. You look at some woman and her life is in ruins. It's a mess. It's a disaster. And you say, "I'd never want to live like that." She's been through one man after another who's treated her that way. I tell you, you need to get Jesus fast as you can. Amen. You'll take in one devil and then two devils and then five devils and then 10 devils and two thousand devils living inside somebody. And Jesus came along. Amen. And every one of them got out as quick as they could. And those pigs, they said, "We're not going to live like that man was living." Down they went. They fed the swine, fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him, watch this, that was possessed. Was. You know why? Because he's not. He was, but he's not. Now, let me tell you something. I hear all this modern stuff. Well, you know, all roads lead to heaven. One's religion good as another. As long as you're sincere in what you believe. Let me tell you something. Every religion in this world says, do this for 10 years, do that for 15 years, go on all these pilgrimages, keep all these sacraments, perform all these good deeds. There is one religion on the face of the earth. You can wake up in the morning on your way to hell and go to bed that night on your way to heaven. Amen. It's Bible Christianity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This man woke up that morning in the hand of the devil and went to bed that night in the hand of God. He woke up that morning, his life in ruins, and went to bed that night with a brand new life. There's no religion in the world do that for you. Amen. You get through all 33 degrees down there at your lodge. Well, not 33. We'll do 2 or 3 and then skip ahead to 31 or 32, something like that. They won't save your soul. You get baptized every creek, every river, every baptistry, every lake in North Carolina. You'll be just the same person, just a little wetter. But you run to Jesus And Jesus Christ, by the word of his power, cast that devil out of you. You'll be a new man that day. You'll be a new woman that day. Praise God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Look at it. They found him sitting. No chains, no fetters, nobody trying to bind him. He's just sitting there and clothed. Oh, do we dare ruin the meeting on the first night? What preacher preached at him about being naked? What Sunday school teacher took him through a discipleship course on modesty? You know, it's a funny thing. As soon as Adam sensed he's in the presence of the Lord, he knew fig leaves weren't enough. Peter's on that fishing boat with his buddies, and he didn't mind being in his little swim trunks. But as soon as they saw Jesus on the shore, he put his coat around him. I'm just telling you, when the Lord casts the devil out, this, can you believe the country we're living in? I'm not trying to kill the meat. One man said, how do you tell the prostitutes from the housewives? Honestly, people aren't ashamed. You go to work with a dress down to here and a skirt up to here, and then you file a harassment suit against the man that looked at it? Something messed up. A preacher, take some notes here. I'll give you something to help you. Write this down. There's two kinds of women shouldn't wear yoga pants. Ones that look good in them and ones that don't. How's that? That's good enough? You used to have to get a National Geographic magazine to see what you see now in Walmart. I'm telling you, this man changed his conduct without a sermon. He changed his conduct without a camp meeting. Something happened when an unclean spirit moved out and a holy spirit moved in. Amen. I think we'd get more God in our hearts, we'd need less preaching. Well, I better get back to this. Sitting clothed and in his right mind. Yeah. Do not go home, throw anything away because you heard a sermon. I'm not going to be responsible for that. Do not call your doctor tomorrow and say, listen, doc, I'm just telling you, this man, it took him 1 hour to go from out of his mind to in his right mind. Why? Because it wasn't his mind. It was an unclean spirit. And when the unclean spirit was cast out of him by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, it fixed his brains. Amen. Praise the Lord. And they were afraid. I tell you, the Bible, if God had written it in 2024, he couldn't have made it any more accurate. The Bible said he was a wild man, they couldn't tame him, but it didn't say they're afraid of him. The Bible said they tried to chain him and they couldn't chain him. He break the fetters, but didn't say they're afraid of him. The Bible says he's running, wailing like a madman, cutting himself, he's splattering blood everywhere, and they weren't afraid of him. But now, he's sitting calmly, he's got clothes on, he's in his right mind, and they're scared of him. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You go to that job, you go down that factory for 20 years, cuss, swear, tell dirty stories, gripe, badmouth the boss, and everybody slaps you on the back and laughs at your jokes. Yeah. You come to church service, get born again, go to work with a smile on your face and a Jesus saves on your t-shirt, they're scared to death of you.
Yeah.
Isn't that the weirdest thing? People walk in the grocery store, they look like they just got off a spaceship. And nobody's bothered by it. You walk in that grocery store, and you know that little seat where the baby sits? If it's too crowded in the store, Just fold down that little baby seat and put an open Bible in there. You'll have the whole aisle to yourself. It is strange. You've been going to the family reunion and you've been going to the 4th of July barbecue all your life, drunk and nobody said anything.
Right.
Flirting with all the women there and nobody said anything. Right. Cussing and nobody said anything. And then you show up one year and you say, no, I don't want a beer. I don't drink anymore since Jesus saved me. Now you're a freak. Right. Isn't that crazy? This man came through our church. He's a missionary on deputation. And he said while he was traveling around, he went to Niagara Falls. And there's a boat. You can pay to go on this boat. And they take you just as close as they can get to that waterfall without it, you know, sinking the boat. And he said they packed us on that boat so that you couldn't move. They had so many people on the deck of that boat. You just like this, like sardines in a can. And he said, we got closer and closer to that waterfall. And I saw the power of that water and the noise of that waterfall and that spray going up. He said, I couldn't help myself. He said, I put my hands up and said, praise God, praise Jesus, hallelujah, what a God. He said, it just welled up in me. I just started praising the Lord. He said, I got done. I couldn't touch anybody in any direction. I don't know where they went. How is it they're afraid of him now? What a country. What a country we live in where clean, pure little girls are made fun of. Where boys that don't do dope and don't drink and don't cuss are ridiculed and made fun of. You need to get in this crowd. I want to be in a clean crowd. Clothes sitting his right mind, they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Brother, sister, I hope you're not part of a crowd that cares more about your income than you do souls. Hope you're not part of a crowd that cares more about dollars and cents and checks and bank accounts than you do people full of the devil. It's going to stir up a town if we get serious about Jesus. It's going to disrupt some things if we start living real Christianity. You might not get a promotion. You might lose some customers. But these people are full of the devil and they need Jesus. We need to make him known. Amen. They asked the Lord. The Lord changed that man's life. And they said to Jesus, they didn't say, change our lives too. They said, get out of here.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Get out of here. We don't need you. He needed you. But now that you fixed him, get out of here.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a bad business. You know who I think is closer to hell than this wild man in the graveyard? Those respectable businessmen who don't think they got a problem. He ran to Jesus to get help. They went out there to Jesus and told him to leave. Not good. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how good things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Are you saved? Have you gone home to your friends? Are you saved? Have you told people what Jesus did for you? He said, Lord, I want to follow you to the ends of the earth. He said, how about follow me home? How about follow me to your friends? How about follow me to your neighborhood? You know what he did? Look at the next verse. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis, Deca, 10 cities. How great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. You know what that man did? He went to 10 different towns and told everybody he could tell what Jesus Christ had done for him. Now, it shouldn't get quiet now. That man's full of devil. Yeah! That man's got unclean spirit. Yeah, Jesus cast the devil out of him. Yeah, those pig herders, they're bad people. Yeah, and we need to go tell people. About time to go, ain't it, Mr. Moderator? You say, I wouldn't know all the answers. How many answers do you think this guy knew?
Right.
Well, they might ask me questions about the Bible. I wouldn't know how to answer them. You think he knew a lot about the Bible?
No.
What did he do? He went and told people what Jesus did for him.
Amen.
You could do that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Last point, and I'm finished. It's really incredible how much Jesus loves one sinner. I'm glad of that.
Yeah.
Look at Mark chapter 4. I want to show you something. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Jesus says to the, verse 35, same day when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. You know this story. Verse 37, arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship. You know the story. Chapter 5, verse 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea. Now, look at chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, you just read, Jesus Christ gets in a boat, sails through a hurricane to the other side of that sea, saves that man from the devil, gets back in the boat and goes back to where he was. He went all that way through all that storm to all that trouble to rescue one man from the devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know how far he came to find you? All the way from the right hand of the Father. To your living room, to your job site, to your Sunday school class, to your prison cell. Hallelujah. Now, if he could come that far for you, we could take a few steps for him. I believe our country has some people in it who have mental issues. I do. I believe we have people in our country who are genuinely, truly mentally ill. But I believe most of our nation, from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from the Rio Grande to the Great Lakes, is full of the devil. And they don't need counseling and they don't need medication. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. I know he delivered me. I believe many of you would say same thing. He delivered me. Let's do our best. If we can't get close to him, let's let him see him afar off. Let's try this desperate country full of people crying, unhappy, surrounded by death, seemingly uncontrollable, living dirty lives. What do they need? They need Jesus. They need Jesus. And in one day, he could change their life forever. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son across that great sea to get near us.